Yes, Prabhu, some questions?
Yes, the first question is from Dhananjaya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
In the first verse of Shikshashtakam, it is said that at the beginning stage of Nam Sankirtan, the threefold miseries leave. But that doesn't happen to us, so how to understand it correctly?
When a devotee, aspiring servitor, adau guru vashaya, the first principle is to take shelter the lotus feet of Sri Guru. What does that mean? Literal, figurative, how shall we understand that? The primal guru mantra, Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Disciple is offering gratitude to Sri Guru, saying, for removing the cataract of eye of ignorance. So it implies a perspective. It doesn't say that everything that is being seen has changed. What is telling us is it's being seen in a new way, clearly. Ignorance means misconception. Misconceiving what is before you. Just as in Bhagavad Gita, you know, Arjuna, Sishyas Teham Sadimam Tvam Prapanam. Arjuna gives his assessment of what his, you can say, karmic circumstances are. Right? And that means tapatroi. The threefold miseries, you know, adiatmik, adibhautik, adidevik. But, and being overwhelmed by them, and to the point of confusion, or what's the word, you know, paralyzed with indecision, he turns to Krishna and takes shelter of him. Sishyas Teham. So now I'm your Shisha. Prapanam, Guru Maharaj's book, Prapana Jivanamritam. Life nectar for the surrendered souls. So Arjuna, now he's going to the position of a Sharanagata. And what does that mean? He's going to, in this sense, transfer his autonomy, but in that process, achieve his autonomy by submitting to Krishna's superior vision of things. And not only superior, we're going from a finite perspective to an infinite perspective. It's like in different types of optics, you talk about, you know, what is it? Depth of field. And there's something called infinite depth of field, where everything's in focus. So he's going from his narrow view of things, myopic in that sense, and seeing himself as some sort of center and judging whether something is desirable, undesirable, pleasing, displeasing, on the basis of that, because he's inextricably surrounded by karmic circumstance, he's in a hopeless, helpless position, he turns to Krishna. And as bewildered as Arjuna is, and you can see that in the different posters and pictures there are, they always show like, in different, sometimes they show Arjuna like this, you know, and because it does say, you know, he says, my mind is reeling, and he's in total anxiety, confused, bewildered. But what is described in Bhagavad Gita, being approached like that by Arjuna, it's in Krishna smiling, gently smiling, begins his answers, which tells you something too. Here's someone who's totally overwhelmed and filled with anxiety. Well, Krishna's smiling. And that can be for, you know, infinite reasons. One, that a friend is taking shelter of him. And also Krishna knows this is play, it's divine lila, so many things. But it's not that when Arjuna shifts to Krishna's perspective, Krishna vision, that there's no more army there, there's no more threat, the world has vanished. No, they're still on the battlefield. The sides are there, it's right at the onset of the battle, and there's going to be, we understand, so much killing, suffering, all of these things. And even you can say from Arjuna's side, right? His chariot gets demolished, he's on the ground, Bhishma Dev is coming to crush him. So it doesn't mean like once you do this, then it's just smooth sailing, some sort of monotonous, even keel. It doesn't mean that. But with the change of this perspective, now all of these things are seen differently. What was self-induced suffering, right? The results of the reactions, the former karmic actions, now he's in a different zone. Right? As it says in Brahma Sangita, karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. When through the culture of Krishna consciousness, all of this karmic circumstance is seen differently. Guru Maharaj has also given his example that with regard to the concept of the paramour, that he's saying the husband has some right to assert over the wife. And in this case, the husband is karma, and the wife is the aspiring servitor. Saying, but the wife has a paramour, that means Krishna and Krishna conception. So she's apparently being dutiful and dealing with that, but really in the heart is wholly given over to the paramour. So it will be observed externally that it appears some devotee is suffering from the threefold miseries of material existence. But what is their internal culture? Like we heard Hashapriya Prabhu quoting that sloka, this part of Brahma Stuti, and one aspect of that is Tatenu Kampam Susamikshamano Munjana Evatmam Kripam Vipakam Kritam Vipakam. Saying that Guru Maharaj will say the advice of Bhagavad Gita, Matra Sparshas Tukontiya Shitoshna Sukadukada Agama Payano Nityas Tams Titikshasva Bharata. Like we're all now wearing sweaters and scarves, why we made some adjustment for the temperature and the climate. So you can say in summary, we're tolerating these conditions. That's titikshasva, tolerance. And this is Krishna's advice to Arjuna. He's saying, what goes on in this world and in your life is like seasonal changes. You have to tolerate it, make some adjustment. But in that Bhagavatam sloka, susamiksha, samiksha means to examine. So we examine, we analyze situations, our circumstances. But susamiksha means like acute scrutiny. And what Guru Amar says, this verse from Brahmastuti is telling us, is that if you look deeply into any circumstance and look into the background, you'll see the friendly hand of Krishna. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shantim ruchchati. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam means everything is meant to be offered and enjoyed by Krishna. Sarvaloka, all the worlds, Maheshwaram, he's the Lord. That not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Lord. He's that Lord. Right? Is the blade of grass moving in your favor or against you? What to speak of the movement of blades of grass, more significant events. If he's controlling everything, is it moving in your favor or against you? Even what is apparently against you, some particular current or flow, is that really against your self-interest? Krishna, the infinite supreme Lord, he gets some sort of sadistic pleasure out of torturing or making little finite jivas suffer. It can't be like that. That would be God. He would get some sadistic pleasure making little tiny infinite beings who are no match for him to introduce suffering into their lives. So for our benefit or detriment, the next line says, Suhridam Sarvadehinam means, Suhrit means friend. Sarvadehinam means of everyone. So that person who, for everything is meant for their enjoyment, all sacrifice is for them, they're controlling everything. It seems, whoa, this is very lopsided. Right? I'm saying, is your dearmost friend? So would your dearmost friend structure everything in such a way as to make your life hellish or endlessly miserable? Or when you say, yeah, but I find myself in these and so many adverse circumstances, apparently suffering in different ways. But is that for your betterment or your detriment? That's the difference. And as we heard again in the talk Hashapriya Prabhu was giving, the allusion to Kunti Devi, Vipadakshantu takshashva tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsyad apunar bhavadarshanam. Where she's saying, vipad means danger, adverse circumstances. And her conclusion, recollecting, reflecting back on the pastimes with our sons, the Pandavas, and they found themselves in so many adverse circumstances. And repeatedly, it was the cause of her becoming more intensely focused upon Krishna and in need of shelter. As we told Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son, Doinya Atmani Vedan Goptritle Bharam. That Doinya, being hopeless, in a most desperate situation leads one to offer themselves and seeking shelter. When Nard Muni, in the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, he's praising Yudhisthira Maharaj and the Pandavas at the behest of Hanuman. As Prahlad sent him to Hanuman, Hanuman sends him to the Pandavas. And Yudhisthira Maharaj is deflecting this praise, saying, "My lamentation is that anyone who's seriously contemplating pursuing Krishna consciousness, when they see our pastimes, they'll be discouraged. They'll say, if this is what it means to be a devotee, no thank you." That's what he says. And this is amani na manadena, the devotee. Always, they're offering praise to others, and he defers to the Yadavas. But Narada, he also knows how to participate in this dialogue, and he's saying, "No, that is not the message we get from your pastimes. The message we get is when the devotee is in adverse circumstances, Krishna will rescue them and save them. And so anyone who hears about your pastimes, they'll be filled with hope and optimism that if we take shelter, we'll be in the most adverse circumstances. We take shelter of Krishna, Gopitve Bharan, he will protect us." And then we say, devotees very delightfully, they, in praising one another, they defeat one another. If that's possible. Where do you win? Where are you defeated by winning and winning and vice versa? So by praising, they defeat. And you can't argue with the perspective, that vision. But another way to look at this is that, like a fan, the moving blade of a fan, while it's connected to the source, the blade is moving. When you disconnect it from the source, it actually continues moving for some time. But there will be no new movement because it's disconnected from that source. Gradually, it will come to a halt. So someone who knows this knows once it's disconnected, that's it. And then you say, "No, but we see for some time the blade." They're saying, "Don't worry about that. There's nothing, it's not connected to that source anymore." So when someone, and you could say this is even a qualification, but truly, fully embraces the position of a Sharanagata, that's it. It's disconnected from the source of these things. But we will see that for some time they go on, and we're told, what is the thought process of that devotee, their mindset, their thinking? Actually, I deserve so much more suffering, punishment, but Krishna is giving me a slap on the wrist. I'm getting a token punishment and compared to what I actually deserve. So if we think, well, but what is that, doesn't appear to be our position, or then we'll have to look in ourselves and say, to what degree am I a surrendered soul? And the answer from the higher devotees is not on any level. As Guru Maharaj told, with Shraddha, Sarusanga, Bhajanakriya, Anartanibriti, etc. He said, an actual pure devotee will never think that they've achieved Anartanivritti. So then, and we've heard our superior gurus in certain circumstances, sometimes Srila Gurudev saying, like, suffering, oh, this is my karma. We're not thinking that, but he's thinking like that. You say, well, why is he thinking? Because that is the way the devotee thinks. Mahaprabhu says that. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam, ba, jagadisha, kamaye. Mama janmani janmani shure, bhavatad bhakti rahaituki. The mama janmani janmani shure, sometimes Guru Maharaj rendered as Mahaprabhu saying, by my karma, I know I'll have to be born again and again to play out my karmic destiny. So then my prayer, knowing that that is a fact, my prayer is to be in a situation where I have the association of devotees and the possibility of seva. That's the proper mood of the devotee. They won't be thinking, well, I've taken the holy name of Krishna and it's still raining. Or, you know, I'm still on fire. I guess we're waiting for the rain, right? Sangsara dava nalalita loka tranaya karuna guna ganatram. Where is the thing? Yeah, there's a blazing fire. I'm in the midst of, and I'm waiting for the rain to come. What does it say? The torrential rain? How is it described there? Anyway, the gana ganatvam, extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. So it's like that, disconnected from the source, there may be some residual movement for some time. And I mean, this is mentioned a similar way in Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jiva Dharma. And the other thing being, Guru Maharaj saying that, if you're suffering from some particular disease and you approach the expert physician for that. And another person, you know, they inquire from you. They know what your condition is, and you say, well, who's your doctor? You know, say, oh, Dr. So-and-so. I have an appointment there, or I'm meeting with him. He's putting me on a program. And you say, consider yourself cured. Why? Because they know, no, he's the expert for this kind of treatment. Consider yourself cured. That means you'll have to undergo, but they're saying the outcome is guaranteed. And to the degree that you adhere to the prescription is how rapid will be the cure. He'll recover your position. So there are many things for us to consider. But so when we analyze our own situation from our point of view, we will think, well, I'm not actually a surrendered soul. I'm not actually substantially taking the name of Krishna. And so why should all these wonderful things that I hear there apply to me? It is an aspiration. What does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say in the song? We don't take it that it's him, we take it as friends. You know, kabe habe bolo sedi namar, what is one line? Amar aparadha guchi shudha nama ruchi kripa bolo kanakoro, huh? Hridaye Sanchar. So he's saying, when will that day come when my offenses, I will no longer be offensive and the real effects of the holy name will come to me? It's an aspiration. And we're told, yes, when Krishna Nam substantially appears, and even, you know, the Nama Bas or the on the way to Shuddhanam. These are the miraculous effects of that. But that should be couched in the language of aspiration and not thought of as, oh, I did that so many years ago. No, it's something we aspire to. So there's many things to consider. But on one level, because we've approached qualified agent, the Vaishnava, and say, all these things, consider yourself cured. It's going in that direction, and this must be the result in time to faithful adherence. And I think implied is some concept of degree. As Srila Gurudev would say, quoting Guru Maharaj's godbrother, about Vaishnavata, 1%, 5%, 25%, 50, 75, etc. When we hear the famous sloka, Dikshakale Bhaktakore Atma Samarpam. So it's saying, Dikshakale, at the time of Diksha, Bhaktakore, the devotee, what? Atma Samarpan. You know, offers themselves. Atma Samarpan really means wholesale surrender. So one way of looking at this is saying, oh, at the time of initiation, the devotee comes forward and offers themselves. And that's not untrue, right? But another way to read that is to say that when one fully offers themselves, Atma Samarpan, really, fully, truly offers themselves completely, that's the time of Diksha. That's when this becomes meaningful to the, with the greatest magnitude. But just to literally say, these things have been done, and to expect these astonishing results is not the way to view it. But back to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Kabe Habe Boloseidi Namar, when will that day be mine? And he makes some qualifications. Amar Aparada Gucci, Shuddha Namaruchi, the offenses vanishing, and then some actual taste for the holy name. There's a sequence. Guru Maharaj is saying on the second verse, Nam Namakahi Bahudha Nijasarva Shakti Tatarpitak Niyamatak Smaraneena Kala Etadrushi Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdevam Idrushami Hajani Nanuraga. This Durdevam is interesting because that's a word from Srimati Radharani's vocabulary. Durdeva Vilas, sometimes you say, what is my situation? Why I can't, you know, have connection with Krishna? So as Durdeva, it's my misfortune or my bad luck. Guru Maharaj renders it variously. So in this sloka where all these things are mentioned about the holy names of Krishna and their power, their potency, but it ends on the line, Durdevam Idrushami Hajani Nanuraga. He said, but my misfortune, Durdeva, is Na Anurag. I have no feeling for this. That is spoken by Mahaprabhu, and it's supposed to be echoing the sentiments of Srimati Radharani. So then the next verse comes saying, lead me on the path in the right direction. Trinadapi sunichena tororapi sihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Tolerance, which implies also patience, tolerance, humility, tolerance, humility. What does that mean? proximity, awareness of the proximity of greatness means some genuine appreciation for what is before you and where you're situated. Who is Guru? Who is Vaishnava? What Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnava? Some genuine appreciation for those things. That brings the sentiments of humility descend in that heart. They're properly appreciating association and what is before us. Amanina amanadena. Absence of ego and pratishta, self-promotion. While glorifying and promoting the other Vaishnavas, then it says kirtinya sadahari. Then you can go on with this always in a substantial way. But the spiritual experts, once they detect that in the heart of an aspiring servitor is some genuine appreciation, stane stita shruti gatam tanuvan manobir, Guru said, then they say, today or tomorrow, this must come. Right? It's so powerful. We do not realize its power. Just like the virus. Right? On a viral level, something enters the system. And it's not apparent always from the beginning. But an expert can say, once you've got this virus, you're finished. I say, no, I'm still feeling this way and that way. I'm using an inverted example. You've got the, they know, you're done. It will, in time, it will express itself. And the way you are as present, that will be finished. It's like, what, if we see viral infections have this potency in this world, on that, I don't even know how to describe it properly, scientifically, what is it? Genetic material, you know, it's some genetic, so minuscule. But once that enters your system, in time it will express itself and you'll be finished. You'll be on the Die to Live program, right? So what's the parallel in Krishna consciousness? In the Brahmar Gita from Srimati Radharani, again, and actually, we see in time because of Mahaprabhu and the Goswami, Radharani is teaching everyone what is Krishna consciousness. We think, no, there are these great sages, and one guy had a big long beard, and you know, and he said this, and he had giant tulsi beads, and another thing. No, Radharani is revealing Krishna. Her and her group, all the great devotees, there are her group. The Shikshastakam comes from her. All of these things do. And ultimately, the real heart. What did that sign say? Information with heart?
Yes.
Yeah, we saw a sign. Information with heart. Not just information, but information with heart. You know, heart to heart transaction. No one has, in other words, no one has more heart than her. We're not interested in knowledge or information, but information with heart. And that comes from her. She's the greatest lover of Krishna. That can mean different things. One of the things it means is no one has more love for Krishna than her. So that means no one can impart more love of Krishna than her, Krishna Prem. And why Krishna does not descend, take the position of others. We could say other bhaktis. And the Nimai Pandit pastimes a little bit in some places. But really, Radha Bhava Duti Subolita, know me, that Krishna, who's Radha Bhava, has the heart of Radharani, he's the one who's preaching all of this Krishna consciousness. Right? So, in her Gita, right? There's all, you know, Bhagavad Gita, Gopi Gita, Venu Gita, Uddhava Gita, her Gita, what is called Brahmar Gita, the song of the bumblebee. But really, she's doing all the singing. It's what she's saying, viewing that bumblebee. And she says, Yadanu Charita Lila Karna Piyusha Viprut Sakrida Dvana Viduta Danda Dharma Vinashta Sapari Griha Kutumbam Udinam Utrija Bahuva Bhikkhu Vihanga Charjam Charanti. Yadanu Charita Lila Karna Piyusha Viprut. Piyush means nectar. She's saying, when one drop of the nectar of hearing about Krishna touches the heart, how does it get there? How does it get to the heart? Karna, through the channel of sound. It's carried on the wave of sound, the current of sound. That's why here is so much. It's not literally just to get the holy name. You can get the holy name on Amazon, right? Or, you know, online. You need from the Vaishnava agent, when it is encrypted, infused with a particular type of heart, right? It's not information, heart. That touches the heart. And what is she saying? You're finished, right? But she's saying this as if it's a complaint. She's saying, your life is ruined. But meaning, like, your material existence is finished. She's saying that. And we were saying, well, no, I think that happened to me and I'm still going on. Yeah, like that virus that's the expert. No, you don't realize you're in your final days. Actually, like Guru Maharaj said, as long as you cast blame upon others, the environment, time, you know, you're outwardly, as long as whatever you're experiencing in your life, you're casting blame upon others. And he said, then you're going to be in this world for a long time. He said, but when you realize that you alone are the sole culprit, you have nothing to blame on anyone but yourself, he said, then your days here are numbered. And so it's coming to this realization, this understanding. But she's saying, when you have a drop of this nectar of Krishna, which we hear from the higher Vaishnavas, right? And because it's the way they present this that makes it so touching, that it touches the heart and melts the heart. She's saying that act, a drop of that will finish you. Right? And Guru Maharaj, in that regard, he gave this example of said that the burglars, they, like, there's a safe, a vault somewhere, right? And there's a combination, it's very hard to get it open. But the burglars, they have some type of acid or something, and they put like a drop of this on, and then like where the tumblers are, it melts, and then the vault, the safe door opens. So he said, it's like that. What is vaulted, bidyate hridaya granti chidyante sarva sankshaya chiyante yashit karmani drishte Mayudrishte Akilatmani. It's vaulted. There's a stranglehold that calm desire has upon the heart. Then a drop of this substance and the vault of the heart opens, and that superior substance that is there, we know this from our superiors, that this capability of the heart is there. For love, we think, no, there's like love, and then we talk about Krishna Prema. No, there's only that. There's not different ones. There may be things that are, as we call upadis, substitutes for that. We think about the person, places, things of this world, but that is not love. Atmendriya priti ichadari bolekam, Krishnendriya priti ichadari premanam. Really, love means Krishna prema, and that's what the heart is capable of, and that's why it will be disappointed with all other substitutes for that. Inevitably, invariably, inevitably disappointed. And it can only be released in this way. And she herself is saying, hearing about Krishna, a drop of that substance is what will release this flood from the heart. And the dvandva, dharma, vinashta, this world of duality and everything that goes with heat, cold, happiness, distress, etc., that'll all finish. And she also says in the end, and what for all, like Prabhupada said in his postcard to Guru Maharaj, you know, I'm totally disgusted with human civilization. The animals look more friendly to me. And he's saying, and so achieving this position where your material life is ruined. He's saying, and then what happens? They just wander about like the birds who, you know, they come, they take a little something and then they go. And they have no fixed residence. But those birds, that means hungsa. He's saying the end result is you become a paramahansa. And what are we told is their specific quality or capability? In the midst of what is apparently mundane, they can extract spiritual substance from there. And that's back to the situation that we are in. How to read that. How they can extract the spiritual substance from any apparently karmic circumstance. Say, oh, the friendly hand of Krishna is there in the background. This is good. It's destroying my ambition for the material world. It's convincing me, what did Prabhupada say, quoting Saraswati Thakur, it's not a place for gentlemen, and so many other things. That's what I mean. You'll be ruined. Your little fantasy about realizing your prospect in this world will be ruined. And of course, being in the neophyte position, where this is like makes us nervous or a cause for alarm. Because our faith is not so developed. But the higher devotees, as we hear in Kunti, she's praying for that. Saying, having, being affluent, jan maiswarja, shruta shribir edamana madakpuman, naivar, navidatumbai, tamakinchana gocharam. When janma, good birth, aishwarya, opulence, wealth, shruta here means highly educated, shri, physical beauty. So these are impediments to taking shelter of you, because it makes us think we have some prospect in this world. Whereas so it's difficult for such people. But tvam akinchana gocharam, but the akinchan, those who have no material assets or have exhausted them. Prabhupada said, you are easily approached by the materially exhausted. And lastly, I'd like to say, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, where's that verse? Param padam vatsa vipadamna. Vatsa param 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 padam yad vipadamna tesham bhavam. Anyway, it compares the material world, saying what is oceanic in proportion. We say the ocean of material existence, right? Bhava arnavam, bhava arnava, right? That means the ocean of arnava. It just becomes reduced to the water left in the imprint of the hoof of a calf. So think about this. How can you see, there's an ocean, and now an ocean is reduced to a drop. That means a change of perspective, a new way of seeing. So what was oceanic and insurmountable is now become a drop. Now we're going in the other direction. But Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says something very interesting. He says that generally, it's good for the devotees to have a healthy fear of material existence. Right? No one should think like they're safe. No one should say, I challenge Maya. Can she, dot, dot, dot. Yes, she can. Don't challenge Maya. Not a good strategy. And sometimes Gurudev even like placating Ma Kali and, realizing, this is her zone, her region, stay on her good side. healthy fear of the mundane, that kind of keeps the devotees true and focused and sheltered. He said, but another, Vishwanath is known for his interpretive abilities. And he's saying, but another way of looking at this verse, saying the ocean is reduced to the water in the hoof print of a cow. And he's saying, actually, we worship the cows, Govinda, Krishna, and what is bathe them, that abhishek, that. He's saying, actually, these things can be seen as advantageous from the devotees. And we're back to interpreting adversity as good for spiritual culture. It's forcing us to take a deeper shelter, to dive deep into reality, as opposed to being outer directed. Hare Krishna. Anything else?
May I ask a question from my side?
Sure.
Yeah. From the superficial perspective, the position of Radharani is even more, it seems even more miserable than Pandava's position, and she suffers more, and it's discouraging, it looks more discouraging. So what Paramahamsa's of they extract from that level of relationship between her and
Well, her one Lord. Thing I would say before I get to what the Paramahamsa is saying is something that Schopenhauer said, who's like a Mahatma in another part of the world. But he said in one place an interesting statement, or at least it's attributed to him, he's saying, women are judged by their capacity for suffering. Women are judged as superior, like superior to men because of childbirth and all that, but even within the realm of women, they're judged as superior by their capacity for suffering. That's an interesting observation from him. But then what we find here, and now maybe we're coming to the heart of the matter, is suffering always a bad thing? No one is inviting it, other than Kunti, inviting adversity. We can say no one wants to be unhappy. But Gurudev would sometimes say this way. He said, everyone understands the joys of union. And he even went further. He said, even the animals. Because when someone was promoting some interpretation like this, he said, really, I don't like to talk about this. But he did say a little bit, beginning with this, that everyone understands that. Even the animals, he said, but who can understand the type of joy that comes from separation? What appears to be unparalleled suffering. So he'd said, what is Mahaprabhu's tasting matter? He's, as Krishna, he knows everything about enjoyment. Govindam, Adipurusham, etc. Right? He's Rasaraj, Rasika Shekhar, all of these things are Krishna. He knows everything about enjoyment, more than anyone can ever understand about it. But what has captured his attention, kutuki, means curiosity, that aparam kasyapi pranayi janabrindasya kutuki, is he's saying, what is she experiencing when she sees me, their divine pastimes, she Radhaya pranaya mahima kidrushobana eva svadyo yenadbhuta madurima samadhiya sokyam chasya madanubhavita kidrusham beti lobha tadbhava dya sachi garba sindo harindu samajani. So he wants to know, what is that love that she alone possesses, which is Mahabhav? Because we know, Subal Bhav, Gopis Bhav, but Mahabhav, Radharani. What is she tasting when she's, he knows he's sweetness personified, but what is it like to taste that sweetness? And Tad Bhavadya, her heart, her feelings. So he descends as Mahaprabhu. And what are the zenith points of the pastimes of Mahaprabhu? We alluded to one other, Brahmar Gita. It says Uddhava Darshan, but that's what it means. When Uddhava came, and it means Brahmar Gita. And the other, Ratyatra. And what is that? The zenith point of separation, not of union, where the heart, and Guru Maharaj expressed it this way with his interpretation of Brahmar Gita, he's saying, when love and affection are put under the utmost pressure, what sort of substance will they yield? The greatest pressure you can put on love and affection is separation. So it's when it's being squeezed to the maximum in separation, then it yields the most superior substance. And so when Gurudev said, what is Mahaprabhu's tasting matter? He quoted the verse of Rupa Goswami from the Antya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamritam. It's in the Antya Leela for a reason. And what does it begin? Pidabir Navakala Kuta Katuta Garvasya Nirvasyano Nishyandena Sudha Madhurima Sankochana Ahankar Sankochana Prema Sundari Nanda Nandana Puro Yasya Jagantri. I forget the entirety, but we were talking about the cobra venom the other day, so we're saying, as if one's been bitten by a cobra, hemorrhaging, the worst type of suffering imaginable, while internally, or he says, being and simultaneously being bathed in an endless shower of the most extraordinary nectar. These two things together. So he said, that's inconceivable. So Guru said, who can understand the sort of ecstatic joy the heart is capable of expressing and experiencing when separation reaches its ultimate magnitude? He said, that is his tasting matter. He who knows everything about pastimes of enjoyment, he didn't come for that. This is what he wanted to experience. As we're told when on that Brajamandal Parikrama, when the disciple of Saraswati Thakur said, after Radharani leaves the Rasalila and Krishna goes after her and they're together, after some time, she says, I cannot walk anymore, you have to carry me. He carries her, sets her down, and she closes her eyes thinking of her good fortune. And when she opens her eye, Krishna has vanished, plunging her into the, you know, from that height, then to go to that extreme of misery and abject suffering. And Saraswati Thakur was furious to hear this, but Guru Maharaj, knowing that Radharani is always in the highest position, found that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying, Krishna's hiding in the kunja, observing her. And what is he observing? He wants to know, I know what it's like when we're together. What sort of sentiments and heart does she exhibit when we're separated? And that's what he sees that astonishes him and arouses the curiosity within him to see what it's like to be her, to experience all of that. So now we see this so-called suffering. She's capable of suffering more, right? She has more love for Krishna. So the depth of her feelings of separation, that so-called abject suffering, is greater than anyone's. And that yields the most, not only superior substance, but when, like Guru Maharaj is saying, hunger produces relish. Think of it in that way. That's the hunger. And that will produce the relish when the time of union or the time of tasting comes. It will be with extreme pleasure. So, yes. And Guru Maharaj mentioning as well, like the heartbreaking love story. It's a heartbreaking love story. Tears are pouring down the eyes. But you can't stop. Don't want it to stop. Want to hear more. So we can say, that's very peculiar. You're saying, this is a heartbreaking love story. Tears are pouring from your eyes, but you can't resist. You want to hear more. That's the key to understanding this. So who has the most heart is capable of experiencing the greatest pain of separation. And that's shown in two places, Srimati Radharani and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. yugayitam nimishena chakshusha pravrishayitam sunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Kesavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra. Garadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhakta Raghunath. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raghunath. Hey chai go chai kori charana bandan. Jaha hoy te vignanash abhishta puran. Hey chai go chai dharmui tarodas. Kansa Bada Pada Renu Mora Panchagra. Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Saneva. Janame Janame More Yavilan. Hey chai go chai jabe braje koilo vas. Radha Krishna nitya lila korilo prakash. Anande bolo hari vaja vrindavan. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriya.
Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriya.
Hari Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottamada. Hey Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Hari Bol,
Hari Bol,
Hari Bol,
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajaka Charjo Satara Sada Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Ju Ki Jai. Shri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar. Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath. Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadeep Dham Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnupad Vishvavaranya Srila Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Acharya Brinda Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Vimala Vidut Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Ranjan Madhusudan Maharaj Ki Jai. Seva Brinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti Brinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande.
Jai Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.